concern that we not tamper with or somehow remove that discretion of the court up to the time of actual physical delivery to the corrections division to modify that sentence. And I think we ought to perhaps try to address that concern, if, as I understand, it's still valid.
All right, Judge Beatty, would you like to? Yeah, I believe that was your concern. Do you have any? Have you seen the proposed?
I have, Mr. Chairman. I have just seen a moment ago the proposed amendment, and my concern continues to be the same matter, and I'll illustrate it briefly. You impose a sentence. Somebody brings to your attention the end of the day that you imposed sentences on three felonies but overlooked the fourth, or there is a mix-up in the restitution material that was provided and which has to be straightened out. You can bring the person, you can have the sheriff hold the individual, not deliver him to the corrections division, for a day or 2 days as is necessary to straighten out what needs to be straightened out. And therefore, you can bring that individual back in for the purpose of resentencing. The language of the staff language simply says it commences from the day the court orders the sentence executed. Is that the oral order or the written order? And in any event, presumably at 5 o'clock that day, while the jurisdiction of the court expires. I think for purposes, if you can do it, in a manner which does not interfere with the objective of the corrections division bill, it would help save a lot of trouble if you could make it delivery to a corrections officer other than the institution that's holding it in some manner. There's some desirability in not having the finality occur the moment that order is uttered. I had used suggested language in my memorandum of February 18th. That is not consistent now with the staff redraft of the bill, and of course would have to be modified to deal with it. That's the only thing that I'm concerned with.
Representative Springer.
Perhaps we can let counsel think that through for a moment. I had another point I wanted to raise, perhaps with Corrections Division, just to make sure I understand the circumstances. It's my understanding that an individual already, by statute, receives credit for time served if in custody, say, the local jail. That's applied against the sentence. Are you concerned about the circumstances where an individual may not actually be incarcerated in the county jail, is sentenced and said, okay, report to OSP on such and such a date, which may be a month or two or whatever? Is that the situation in part that you're trying to address?
Chairman and Representative Springer, our focus was we have a lot of individuals received now who are in need of protection. The judge, the defense, and the prosecution all say, we don't want this guy going into the prison. We find it much easier to just move that fellow out to another jurisdiction, and under this present statute, we've got to bring him in. And we've had great resistance from defense as well as judges saying, don't do that. Do something else, and we say no. The law says can't start the sentence until it's delivered.
But my suggestion, Mr. Watson, was commences from the day of his delivery to the custody of an officer of the corrections division for the purpose of serving the sentence executed, irrespective of whether that sentence is to be served in a state or federal institution.
That'd be fine.
All right.
That would take care of the problem we're after.
Counsel, did you track on that?
It sounded very good to me.
Now repeat it, is that what?
If you have that in writing there?
Yes. Memorandum of February 18th. You have it in file.
That's right. I've got February 11th.
No, I don't.
I've got 11th.
February 18th.
No, I just have February 11th.
I'm sorry.
Because the committee doesn't get left behind, we're talking about a related point. I think it's not the guts of the bill. Mm-hmm. We have to force a motion to adopt
the proposed language of staff proposed language 137-370. Now Judge Beatty is presenting to committee counsel some further language relating to the particular situation which he described, whereby one does not fall through the cracks, I think.
Counsel.
There's no objection. The chair would ask to modify its original motion to include the...
Might I ask a question of Judge Beatty? There's a second phrase here, unless the court expressly orders the sentence, that the sentence is to be consecutive to another sentence designated in the order, in which case the term shall commence when confinement pursuant to that other sentence has been completed.
That was addressed to the original language of the bill.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that just part is necessary.
Fine. Okay. Now, is the committee clear on what the proposal is?
Yeah, I think we've thrown a couple curves at counsel. I hope that he's had an opportunity to respond to both those points with the amendment.
Okay, that's what Judge Fadies just handed me would seems to meet both interests.
And we retain the court's discretion to modify the sentence.
The court's discretion is retained until the day of delivery to the custody of an officer of the corrections division.
Now, do you understand that the bill remains, the bill or the proposed amendment remains the same, except there's still this escape hatch there for the sentencing judge until the actual delivery to a corrections division officer?
Question?
Jenny Henderson.
Then that means that the person's not getting any credit for that.
No.
They will still get credit.
Yes.
If they're being held and they're not.
No, this is strictly a operational consideration for the sentencing judge, so that there is some mistake made. Since the Judge Beatty's outlined, he does have this. It's a very short, weak string. Pull back. Okay. Mr. Griffith?
And Mr. Smith raised one other problem with the language of both the bill and this staff amendment down in subsection 4. And I wonder if he could be invited to explain that and if he has any recommended language to get around the problem.
Mr. Smith.
I'm Allison Smith of the District Attorneys Association. In 2322, at line 18, where it says a sentence can be concurrent with any other being served at the time of the new sentencing. If you have a sentence that's been imposed but is not being served, for instance, there's a stay pending an appeal, you would not have the flexibility of the judge being able to make that concurrent. And I suspect that's your intent. It certainly seems more desirable from our standpoint. 2445, requested by the District Attorneys Association, would allow consecutive sentences. You recall that's the one that specifically grants authority for them. And it has language that would do the same thing that was intended here, but it would not leave that little gap in it. The language in 2445 says merely when a defendant who has been previously sentenced to a term of imprisonment by any court within the United States is convicted of an offense, the court may impose a term of imprisonment concurrent with or consecutive to the previous sentence. How you get to that, whether you strike subsection 4 out of HB 2322 and pass 2445 instead, or whether you change subsection 4, is at a point, but I think you should take care of that little problem. Did I answer that?
Yes, I'm wondering whether it would be the committee's intention to grant credit in the effect of a concurrent service of a sentence if the previous sentence was not being served.
Well, by leaving this language as it is, the court could not. And for instance, you might very much, you might have a case arising in the same county as another case where the defendant has been convicted, he's out on recognizance or bail or some sort of release, pending an appeal where he's not serving the sentence. And the second conviction comes along, the judge wants to make a sentence in that concurrent with the one in the first case. In the event that the defendant's appeal, for instance, is unsuccessful. I think it's something you'd want to do.
Mr. Griffith, Mr. Smith, would it satisfy that if we deleted the words being served and for style shifted the words previously imposed around until after the word sentence, with the remainder of any sentence previously imposed at the time the court imposes?
I think that would do it. I frankly like the language that was prepared by the Benton County District Attorney in 2445 as being much more direct and simpler, but certainly that would accomplish the purpose.
Okay. Now, Mr. Smith has brought to attention the point here in subparagraph 4 of our proposed amendment. Mr. Griffith has suggested that sub 4 of our proposed amendment be further modified, if I'm going to leave it to the committee, to a form in which the phrase previously imposed is deleted, Mr. Griffith?
No, it would be inserted after sentence.
Inserted after sentence.
And the words being served be deleted.
Okay, so now currently we have our proposed amendment before us. The amendment contains three other changes in itself. It contains the corrections division's change in paragraph 2 sub B. It contains the Judge Beatty provision change regarding the delivery to the corrections officer to allow the sentencing judge that short string on the defendant should a stake be made. And it also contains the proposed change of Mr. Allison Smith in subparagraph 4. And are we all clear on the proposed changes here? Okay. Now, the chair would place the amendment as I've just outlined it before you for possible adoption. Is there discussion of the proposed amendment as I have outlined? Representative Lombard.
I certainly want to support the amendments. I think I would like to see how this thing lays out as a bill before moving it out to the floor, however.
Well,
just to double check and read. I know you wanted to, if possible, move it out today, but we so completely altered this one that I really would feel more comfortable if we...
Well, if that's the committee's pleasure, that I've...
Mr. Jefferson, isn't this page just substituted?
That
for
is the page. That is the
so
bill
is the
right
bill.
There.
I mean,
yeah. You're working.
Well,
on it.
You've done a few more things.
We've done a few more things, I think, with it.
I'd like to see an engrossed, even if it's a hand engrossed version, before we go further, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Either that, or I would like to take the time now to hand engross what's in front of me completely, because I've just made notes of here and amended there conceptually, and I don't have language.
Get your pens out, folks. Okay, Mr. Griffith, why don't you take us through this one? I hate to be
all right,
so stubborn.
Two
B. About.
Okay, no, the first one would be, first one is in subsection 1. Delete, in the line 3 there, delete, court orders the sentence executed. Insert right?
Doing this, huh?
And delete the word "the" in that line also.
Okay.
Before court?
Right. Okay. And insert of delivery to the custody of an officer of the Corrections Division for the purpose of serving the sentence executed, comma. Regardless of whether that sentence is to be served in a state or federal institution, period. When a person is sentenced to imprisonment in the custody of the Corrections Division, the term of confinement therein commences from the day of delivery to the custody of an officer of the Corrections Division for the purpose of serving the sentence executed, comma, regardless of whether that sentence is to be served in a state or federal institution. Okay, 2B, delete the entirety of 2B. And insert any time the person is authorized by the Corrections Division to spend outside a Corrections Division confinement facility, comma, in a program conducted by or for the Corrections Division. Period.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Smith.
Is confinement facility adequately understood presently? Do we know what that is? That's everything from a work release center to a restitution center to a
state hospital.
Question.
Hampson.
If the person's on a home furlough, then does that count or not?
Yes. Representative Springer.
Okay. Third Amendment, subsection 4, the second line, delete the last two words and transfer the phrase previously imposed after the word sentence.
Imposes sentence.
Imposed.
At the time the court imposes sentence and previously imposed. No.
So that it reads, unless the court expressly orders otherwise, a term of imprisonment shall be concurrent with the remainder of any sentence previously imposed at the time the court imposes sentence.
Okay.
Now, what is currently subparagraph 3 of 137.370, and then the original House bill was renumbered sub 5. Do we need that provision in there?
It No.
But it says,
because that is an exception to an exception. And that says, I'm now going through the printed bill, subsection 5. And that says, except as provided in, that's where you get credit for work or good behavior and good standing in a work release program. No time during which a person sentenced to imprisonment is voluntarily absent from the custody of the corrections division can be counted. In other words, you can't count the time that they're have absconded. Mm-hmm. That's covered by saying you do count the time that they are either in the custody or on supervised leave.
So we don't need five.
So you don't need
is it enough to make that clear by legislative intent that that's what we've done by deleting that? I think that's a question that somebody who knows more about statutes than I do. But I do think we need to make the intent clear. That
okay.
That's the proposal.
So state it.
Credit for time escape.
You don't need credit for time escape. Okay. I feel, is the committee comfortable with the now hand engrossed proposed language to 137.370, which the chair has moved as a substituted language for the bill as printed. Further discussion of that particular motion? Objection to that particular motion? Now, second white sheet you have before you says proposed language of ORS 137.320. This would be an addition.
This would actually
all further language
be inserted as section 1 of the bill because it has a lower numerical order. If the committee will look at the second page of this, they'll see what the present statute is, 137.320, and that is. And I've marked there what material has been deleted. For example, the phrase delivery to the superintendent of the penal or correctional institution. It's necessary to delete that because the defendant isn't necessarily going there. And then the last sentence of subsection 1 there talks about what time you get credit for. That sentence is deleted because it's redundant. It's covered in 137.370. Aside from that, the subsection 1 stays the same. Subsection 2 also stays the same, only it's renumbered. It's necessary to insert two new subsections, 2 and 3, which you'll find then on the first page, which indicate what procedure has to be followed if, in fact, that prisoner is not delivered to an institution but handed over to go elsewhere. The sheriff must still provide the corrections division with a record of how much time that person has already been in confinement so that if and when prisoner does return to the corrections division, they'll know how much time to credit him for.
Again, Mr. Watson, Mr. Toombs, this nods his head.
Affirmatively
nods his head. Chair would move our proposed language of 137.320 as just outlined by committee staff. Mr. Griffith, discussion of the motion. Mr. Springer,
I don't know if I understand. If council could clarify in subsection 4 of the new 137.320, when you get down to where it says when judgment is imprisonment in the county jail or fine, and that defendant can be imprisoned until it is paid. Is that the language we intend?
That's existing language. That's existing subsection 2.
Somehow it just doesn't ring true, but I know it's existing language.
The body bail.
Sounds like we're keeping somebody in prison until they can pay a fine.
Yes.
Existing language, then?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Sounds like Representative Simpson's. Well, if it's existing language, leave well enough alone.
Unless it's broke.
Is it broke?
Well, it just doesn't. It's got a funny grin to it, let's just say that.
Well, that whole passage has been amended a whole bunch of times.
Okay, if not, further discussion of the motion.
I raise it for council's consideration. Responded, I'm satisfied.
Objection to the motion. Hearing none. Motion's on the bill. Chair would move House Bill 2322 to the floor.
Printed and engrossed.
Do pass as amended. Discussion of the motion. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Dugan?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Horton?
Yes.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Lombard?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Rutherford?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye. Passes.
I'll carry that.
I was just going
to. Yeah, I thought when the chair made the motion that he was. Agreeing on that.
Well, I think there's one that the majority of the committee will recommend that he get.
Yeah.
Who haven't we got so far? We have Lombard, Springer, Rutherford, Smith, and Courtney.
See, the ladies don't have anything to carry, do they?
2327 is certainly
clearly
not controversial.
Yes, 2327.
Yeah, we'll leave the minority reports to them.
I wonder if it's possible to go out with 7 or 8 minority reports that are close enough to have sort of a consensus majority.
Sure.
Like
the Supreme Court opinion.
Okay, 2327.
6 concurring opinions.
You guys don't scare me.
Well, I think I'll get a cup of coffee.
Hey, dear.
2327. Minor bill. Okay.
Pocket change.
Who proposed it?
These ours? Well, let me start the bill. Corrections division bill heard on the 20th of January, the 23rd of March. The original bill mandated a certificate of discharge after 6 months on parole. There's been immense discussion of this concept on the part of the legislature, let's say chorus, and I believe we do have some proposed amendments. Mr. Griffith.
Mr. Chair, what are being handed out are proposed amendments to House Bill 2327. These are the product of discussions between myself and legislative counsel. I submitted to legislative counsel and we worked over in an attempt to express clearly, I'm not sure whether it's 4 or 5 or 6 different amendments, none of which is incompatible, but each of which is separable from the others. And they have, in effect, were submitted to me either by one or another of the representatives here.
I've sort of met with a number of people and have some. We've got one that was the genesis for the meeting of Judge Sloper. Got a whole kind of sense of defining what they are.
In effect, it's a set of ideas on each of which the committee can decide whether it likes it or not and can proceed from there.
OK. Hurricane Cohen.
Yes, I guess I'd like to know, since I haven't just seen these till now, where the various suggestions begin and end.
Right.
And that's a problem when you get legislative council things and
yes.
Stuff like this.
Okay. The all of one page one and up to line two on page two, I think it's going to be one. Right. Okay. Would you, Joyce, do you want?
You want to, or I can. I guess this was a discussion arrived at with the parole board, and I guess even with the corrections division. Allowing, saying that there would be active supervision during the first 6 months, and that this Board of Parole may require a more extended period of active supervision provided by rule if it's incompatible with the welfare of society. And then in making determination of whether to, talks about considering the resources. And it also says that the board may extend the period of active parole or delay the discharge.